Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our purpose statement at Bridge Church is to reach people where they are and help them grow. We hope today's message inspires you towards growth, and we pray it's life-changing, and we hope to see you soon.
Heavenly Father, we're in awe of the fact that today you have given us a new day. We're grateful for your word, and we're grateful for the chance to be able to breathe life, to hear more about you, and to learn more about the next steps of our own lives. It's with that in mind, Holy Spirit, we ask you, God, we do not need to have a man motivate us. We need the Spirit to change us. We don't need someone to inspire us. God, we want to not only be aware of our sin, we want to be transformed by the power of your presence. So it's with that in mind, come Holy Spirit, speak to your people, change us. We ask all this in Christ's name, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, class, we are going to start off with a little bit of a pop quiz now. Last week, we were in the book of James. We continue on in this week. And last week, we talked about Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, right? O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And we came upon the conclusion that we needed God to take control of our words. But in this text, James is trying to continue on to help us understand the impact of our words. So let's do a little bit of a quiz. Now I'll let you know how you're doing along with the quiz. So I'm just going to ask you, what word should be there? Amen? What word should be there? Amen? All right. Actions speak louder than
words.
100%. Excellent. A picture is worth 1,000. Ah, yes. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but will never hurt me. Give yourself a round of applause. With all of that language, what it seems like, what we've concluded is that there's something in the culture that wants us to minimize the impact of words. Minimize how words influence us and how words have changed us. But here's the truth. More likely than not, if you have any level of confidence as a person, it's probably because there is someone who probably had some meaning to you, spoke good words over your life. Someone one day told you the good things about you, and it made you not only feel special, it gave you confidence. They said, good job, well done, I see you, keep going. Words that blessed us. But if any of us are insecure in this room this morning, if any of us walk with a limp, if any of us have an echo in our souls about the bad things about us, the broken parts of us, there's a very good chance that that came from words too. That you might have come from a home where you only heard about you never and you always and why can't you get yourself together? There could be a very good chance that your insecurities are stimulated by words or the lack of words. Words that you wanted to hear, like I love you, like I appreciate you, like I see you. And so it's important that we have to have a little bit of an honest conversation about how words have impacted us, because if you're not honest about how words have impacted you, you will not be honest about how you're possibly impacting others with your words. Oh, you know what we say. We say, oh, they're just words. Shouldn't bother you. We say, all I said was, it shouldn't bother you. We say, don't let what they said bother you. They're just talking. And what we want to do is we want to in some way minimize the impact our words have had on others while not admitting the impact the words others have had on us. If we're really honest, if we were to really do some work in here, if we were to have a group therapy session, all of us would be a little honest about an echo of words that are making us limp this morning. And so what James is doing in this section of James chapter 3 is he's trying to get you to not only understand the impact of your words, but he's saying don't ignore the power of words. Look in James chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. James chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Look what he says. In verse 3, he says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Now, what you ought to see, the imagery of a whole horse, a big horse, but a small bit in their mouth. The small bit guides the whole big horse. Amen? Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. So what he's trying to get you to see is a big ship, but a small rudder. Amen? He goes on to say in verse 5 and 6, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Small, great. And then he lastly says, his last analogy, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. What is James trying to say? Big horse being directed, you may not notice the small bit. Big ship being directed, you may not notice the small rudder. There's a big forest blaze, but you may not realize it was started by a small fire. What's he trying to say? You got big problems happening in your life. You may not realize a lot of them have been started by your small tongue. And there's a very good chance you're ignoring the tongue that got you into that mess. And you're blaming on everything except your own tongue. He's saying, don't miss the ship is being guided by that rudder. Don't miss your life is being guided by your tongue. There's so much power in our words. Solomon would say it this way in Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, look what he says in the last part. And those who love it will eat its fruits. Well, death is when people talk you down, when they're disparaging, they're discouraging, they're hard to be around because they bring you down. But the people of life, they bring you up. They support, they're nourishing, they're encouraging. So look what he says in the last part. He says, those who love it, meaning they love the words coming from you, they love its fruits. And what he's trying to get at is when a person speaks life, they are nourishing to the people around them. Aren't there people you feel safe around? Aren't there people when they come around, you're just ready for their words? Aren't there people you move away from because of their words? Because of their words. We love its fruit. We're nourished by what they have to say. So James wants us to give attention to the power of the devastating effects these words can have. Look in verse 5. Look in verse 5 and 6. Remember his last analogy, talked about a ship, talked about a horse. But then he says, a great forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And then he says, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. Now, I want you to notice this. James has used two other analogies. He used a ship and a horse. But he did not say the tongue is a horse. And he did not say the tongue is a ship. He said the tongue is a fire. Because what he's saying is, amongst all these analogies, there's nothing quite explaining the tongue like fire. He said the tongue is a fire. He almost defines it as a fire. Now, what does fire do? Now, if I were to take this match, right, and I were to light this, I am not going to do that. Amen. I have seen analogies go wrong. We're not going to do that today and set this whole church ablaze. Amen. But if I were to light this, put it in the trash can, and there were flammable materials in there, it would keep spreading, and destroy what's in its path. Fire is very unique. But if I were to take this water and splash it on you, you'd be mad, amen. But you'd just be wet, and it would dry up. So some things come and go, but fire destroys and spreads. That's why he's saying, you know, I can't find another analogy that quite explains the tongue like fire. It spreads and it's devastating. Small lighter can do such devastating effects. Chicago, the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, what we understand is that the destruction from that fire caused 17,000 buildings to be destroyed. 300 people died. 100,000 homes were burned. As the detectives tried to figure out, how did it start? Well, allegedly, it's understood that a cow kicked over a lantern in a barn, and that's how the fire started. Man, little cow, little lantern, big fire, big destruction. Small tongue, many things can be destroyed, amen? How do you put out a fire, huh? Well, there's an analogy Solomon gives. He says, watch this, Proverbs 26 and 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. So he says, hey, there's a way to stop a fire. Just don't give it more to consume. No more wood. Now, what's the wood? He says, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Solomon says, let me bring this analogy home. The wood that gets consumed is a person. People keep it spreading. You know what a whisper is? Whisper is a person that comes up to you and says, hey, don't tell nobody else. I'm not one to talk. I'm only telling you. Now, people like that that only tell you, you know they done told. Okay, praise God. Y'all already, I ain't got to preach on that part. You know that. And you know they're going to talk about you too. Okay. Solomon says, the fire goes out if you remove the wood. He's saying if you remove this person, quarreling ceases. Entire families, churches and organizations have been destroyed by a few people. And if you were to remove them, a lot of the quarreling would cease. And we have to make a decision. You see, if I were to take that same match or that same lighter and put it on a stone, it won't be set ablaze. And you've got to make a decision. Will I be wood in this situation or a stone? Will I keep destruction and negativity spreading, or will it stop with me? Now, saints, we can't remove every destructive person from every situation. We all have to go to work, amen? But we can often remove ourselves from those people. You don't have to be in every situation, and the amount of time you spend in that situation is often up to you. And so what Proverbs 20 and 19 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Solomon just be making up terms, right? What's a simple babbler? Simple babbler is a person that does not think about the impact of their words and they're careless. You know anybody like that? I just be talking, you know, and I just be saying stuff and I don't know. I just say what I think. Well, that's the problem, right? We don't want to know what you think all the time. But a lot of times people go, well, I get it, Pastor. I agree with you. I don't be talking. I don't add to stuff. But you associate with those that do. My uncle was a chronic cigarette smoker. And back in the ancient of days in the 1980s, they used to have a smoker section. I know y'all don't know about that. Yes, we were allowed to smoke indoors. And it was just go over there in the corner and smoke. That's literally how it was. So I went out to eat at Waffle House in Texas with my uncle, and he smokes. So I'm there, and he's just smoking. And, you know, we had a good conversation. So then I drove back to my apartment, and the minute I walked in the house, my friends were like, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? I said, I was hanging out with my uncle. I was like, I didn't know you smoked cigarettes. I said, I don't smoke cigarettes. And they're like, clearly you are around somebody who smokes cigarettes. It got all in my clothes, got all in my body. And some of you may not know, but you can die of secondhand smoke. You see, when you surround yourself with people who babble, who quarrel, and whisper, you can't be around certain people the same. Your energy changes. Y'all like that energy? I know the young. That's for the young people. Vibes. You can't celebrate the same way. You can't be the same way. There's something about hearing negative things about people and then being around that person. I didn't talk. I'm not adding to it. I didn't start this fire, but you smell like smoke. And what I'm trying to tell you is atmospherically, vibe, energy, what you give off, aroma. You give off the aroma of negativity. I'm not a negative person, but you hang around those that do. And so he says, and really going back to the earlier problem, don't you love to be around safe people? Where your words are safe, your story is safe, your credibility is safe. And we should be, God has called us to be safe people. Now, James doesn't want us to walk away presuming that the babbler, the gossiper, the whisperer, the slanderer, the individual is the one that started the fire. Just like the Chicago fire, where it's assumed the cow kicked over the lantern, you had to find where did the fire start. And I want you to know the fire didn't start with the whisperer. Look what James says. James chapter 3, verse 6, where it says, the tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life. And then he says, and it is set on fire by hell. Set on fire by hell. What we have to understand is hell is Satan's dominion. It's his realm. It's his atmosphere. And what we have to understand about Satan, the Bible tells us that the name devil means slanderer. The name Satan means accuser. Revelation 12:10, he's called the accuser of the brothers. John 8:44, he's called the father of lies. Understand that slandering means to damage another person's reputation while making a false statement about them. Satan takes all of his time accusing, slandering, condemning, discouraging, distracting you from what you ought to have in the kingdom of God. Wow. If you sin, he says you are that sin. If you make a mistake, he says you are that mistake. He tries to define you and categorize you by the mistakes of your past. And he tries to bring them up all the time like a highlight reel in your mind so that you would feel lesser in the kingdom of God. Yeah. That's who he is. And he's the father of lies. See, you could even call him the father of accusations. We could call him the father of slandering. We could call him the father of gossip. We can call him the father of whispering. We can call him the father of babbling. It all starts with him and his atmosphere in hell. Anybody spend time worshiping this week? I'm not talking about in church. I'm talking about on your own. Anybody ever do some private worship? By yourself. Just you and Jesus. Because, you know, when you spend time with God, you begin to think about his goodness and his mercy, and you just say, God, I thank you this morning. God, you woke me up and you did not have to wake me up. God, I thank you. There are so many things that have happened in my, you know, when I look back over my life and all the things you've done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. God rescued me. Man, there's days, I mean, nothing happened on Tuesday. God was just good. And I just felt like praising him and worshiping him and thinking about the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the majesty of God. And then when I start to think about the things I've done and how good he's been to me in spite of it, God, I'll shout right there. And I don't care if it's a train, plane, or automobile. I might just shout privately. And how many of you believe that when you begin to praise God in that way, in many ways, you're bringing heaven down? How many of you believe that in heaven there's worship of him in that same way all day? And so when you worship him, you bring heaven down. Well, saints, keep this in mind. When we worship, praise, and bless God, we bring heaven down. But when we slander, accuse, and lie about people, we bring hell up. It's atmospheric. Come on now, the atmosphere. The atmosphere of heaven is the praise of God. The atmosphere of hell is the accusation of people. The atmosphere of hell is slander. The atmosphere of hell is gossip. That's hell's atmosphere. And he's back there lighting the fire the whole time. It's not just the person. The person is lit up with lies. They're lit up with accusations. And so we should be very careful about who we're around and the effect it has on us. Not all the saints are at the same place in God, amen? And I love everybody, but how I choose to spend my time is a decision I have to make. Natasha and I were hanging out with a couple one time, early on in our marriage, our first, second year. And we got to talking, and we just said, hey, what are some of the arguments you guys get into? You know, it's our first year, and we just kind of argue. And we said, well, you know, the other night, she wanted to watch HGTV. I was like, no, we're going to watch TNT. We're going to watch the basketball game. And I was like, well, I'll get the remote. You get the remote. Ah, we had this little argument. And the couple was like, we argue too. I was like, really? They're like, yeah. He was like, yeah, so I was getting mad, and she left the house, and I was like, leave. And so she ran out, she got in the car, so I jumped on the car, right? And I was like, you're not going nowhere. And I was like, wow. Funny how the word argue is interpreted so differently. We're not going to be friends. They're like, when we're hanging out again, we're like, I don't know. We're so busy. Now, there's a very good chance that both of those people probably came out of very negative environments. And they brought that into their home. And do you know who gets the worst part of all that? Their kids. Because just like a child growing up in the home of a smoker, so that kid grows up in the atmosphere of negativity, and they will bring that chain smoking like negativity into the next home they occupy. What I'm saying is you create the atmosphere. You can create an atmosphere of heaven or hell. And so James wants us to have an example to understand. An example to understand what's actually happening. So, and it really tries to get us to understand our real identity. Because look what he says in James chapter 3, verse 9. He says, with it, it is the tongue. With it, we bless our Lord and Father. And simultaneously, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. blessings. The Bible helps us to understand that when God blesses men, they're better than they were before. God has done something good for you. So he has supported you and given you great things. That's blessings from him. But when we bless God, we're not giving anything to God he needs. He's not better off. When we bless God, we thank him for how he's blessed us. Blessing God is praising him and thanking him and us becoming more aware of what he's done for us, not him becoming more aware of what he's done for us. But understand that the opposite of blessing is cursing. And cursing is when you are coming against someone and you want to penalize that person for what they've done. You want them to feel the weight of their mistakes. You want them to be magnified. You want their foolishness magnified. And I don't know if you know this, but if you are one of God's children, if you're in his home, you're blessed. You are not cursed. Genesis chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 says it this way. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? The law was all those things they talk about in Deuteronomy and Leviticus and all the things that they say about lying, cheating, stealing. All those things that you and I know we cannot accomplish on our own. That if you're really honest with yourself, I should be getting the consequences of my sin. And what the Bible goes on to say is that Christ redeemed us, meaning he took us away from that curse. How did he do it? By becoming a curse for us. What the Bible goes on to say is cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Paul, the apostle, is taking the imagery that's in Deuteronomy 26, talking about a criminal who would be hung publicly by a tree for the things they've done. And he takes that same idea and he's like, a tree, that's similar to how a cross is built by a wooden tree. And what he's saying is, Jesus Christ took a criminal's penalty while being innocent. He became a curse so that you might be blessed. And let me say this. What he didn't do was leave us just to be a curseless people, that we just didn't get the penalty. But what it says is, it goes on to say, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Now, the blessing of Abraham, based upon Genesis 15 and 6, the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So that means that Abraham just believed what God said, and all of a sudden he says, all the things you've done are taken away and I will give you my righteousness. And he says the Gentiles now get that. Those are the people that didn't grow up knowing about God. What he's trying to say is all those people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now have a chance to be in relationship with God. We have the access and the blessing of him, and we got away with all the stuff we done in this life. As my cousin would say, we not cursed no more, right? And now we've got an abundance of blessing. Not cursed, yet fully blessed. And the blessing of faith is just the foundation of blessings. Faith is just the beginning of the way God's. Ephesians says he's given us every spiritual blessing. You ever had peace from God? That's a blessing. And every time you're able to breathe breath in your lungs, that's a blessing. So God has given you spiritual blessings and physical blessings. Man, have you ever thought about all the blessings God has given you? Oh, but understand, Jesus became cursed so that we might become blessed. So we're blessed, amen? But the problem that the analogy here is giving is the blessed people be cursing folk. Now, why would someone so blessed curse people? Why would someone who has had the great God for them be so against people? Well, the problem is, though we broke God's standard and he blessed us in spite of it, people break our standard and we feel like they should pay the penalty. So what we want to happen is we want people to pay the penalty for their wrong while God ignored our wrong by looking at Jesus on the cross. Gospel for us, law for you. And to go around wanting people to bear the penalty for their mistakes while God is blessing you in spite of your mistakes means that I love a life of riches, but I don't give anybody those riches. Does that make sense? It's like somebody who's greedy, like I got all these blessings, but I won't bless you with all the blessings I have. That could be the problem. Or another problem is you just may not be fully aware of all the way that you're blessed. You ever heard the phrase self-awareness? Self-awareness is the idea that you understand what's going on inside of you, how you come across, the things you say and do. There are people who are self-aware. They just be doing stuff. They don't know how they come across or nothing. But some of us are living life without blessing awareness. We don't know how good God has been to us. We don't take time to consider the magnitude, the mighty ways that God has done for us. You ever heard the phrase, count your blessings?
Amen.
That's what you got to do.
Sir.
We have to be in the regular habit of taking the small things that we've taken for granted and call them blessed.
Yeah.
That this morning, just putting on clothes, oh, I'm blessed. And I pray that God doesn't have to bring you to pain to understand how blessed you are.
Right. Amen. Right.
I'm telling you, I walk to church every day. I always have ankle and feet problems. This is 47. Amen. When I was 27, I'd wake up with pain because something happened. At 47, it just happens. Just pain just be like, hello. Just. And so I'm used to walking with a little bit of a limp every day because I've always got a problem with my toe or my ankle. But every now and then, my feet are fine. And you know what happens? I go, ooh, praise God. Ooh. And that, see, what I'm saying is God had to bring me to pain to see what I already have. What I'm used to. And I'm just telling you, stop getting used to things and start being aware everything you have is a blessing. Why is that important? Because if you do not count your curses, let me know, every day you're counting your blessings. Every day you're counting your cursings. Oh, she's against me. Oh, look at this landlord. I mean, the weather, Lord Jesus. I mean, come on, son. Do you know what time it is? Every day we've got something to complain about. Every day there's somebody against us. You're spending too much time counting your curses. And you're ignoring your blessings. And you're blessed. You're so blessed. You're so blessed. And so, are we the blessed people?
Yes.
Well, let's end with a quiz, amen?
Yes.
Y'all ready?
Yes.
Don't fail. All right, fill in the blank. Blessed people?
Blessed people.
Oh, very, very good. Cursed people?
Cursed people.
Ah, excellent. Blessed people,
blessed people,
cursed people,
cursed.
Blessed people,
blessed.
Cursed people,
cursed.
So blessed people ain't got no business cursing people. But here's what I want you to do. When you're around that person, and we're not talking about profanity and vulgarity, we're talking about they're always talking about the negative. They're always bringing people down. Know that when that person is bringing people down, it's because they feel down. A negative spirit has come from being around a negative spirit. And that person is producing what they've taken in. And let me tell you this, you cannot give what you do not have.
Right.
Bless people. Bless people. Cursed people. Cursed people. And church, I've come here this afternoon to tell you that you are blessed.
I am blessed.
So bless people. Bless people. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for every spiritual blessing that you have given us. All we don't deserve it, God. We deserve something far less than blessing. But God, in spite of ourselves, you came and you died on a cross, and you took the penalty of my sin. And I'm so gracious. I'm so grateful, God. And then, Lord, you gave breath to my lungs today. There are people who love me. I was able to walk. I was able to talk. I was able to think. I was able to pray. You gave me those things. So, God, you have made me rich in blessing. Lord, don't allow me to live poor. I want to live rich. And I want to be generous. So, God, anoint me with awareness of all the ways that I'm blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we give it up for the Lord and his word. I wonder if you'd stand with me.
We hope this message was encouraging to you. We invite you to send us an email at info@bridgechurchnyc.com so we can hear how God used this message to speak to you. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Our handle on all our social media platforms is @BridgeChurchNYC. Our website is BridgeChurchNYC.com. If you're in the New York City area, we would love to see you on a Sunday. Our services are at 10:30 a.m. and noon on Sundays at 345 Adams Street in downtown Brooklyn. Thanks for listening to our podcast today, and we hope to see you soon.